It's my blessing this morning to introduce to you Wayne Funk. Wayne is married, has two children, a boy and a girl. And, eight and nine. Wayne was telling me that this was an opportune time because he said that his wife and children are in Australia, and said his mother-in-law is there with him, so he came to America and said it was a wonderful time.
I don't know what was good first, the triple mitre.
So I had the kid with him just a little bit this morning. But Wayne, if you will, if you come here, let's pray together.
Thank you.
Father, this morning we pray that you be with Brother Wayne, that you'll bless him in a very special way this morning as he shares with us how that your wonderful gospel has spread through Africa and the other countries. Father, be with him, and Father, we ask that you might be with the chariot missions and that you'd really bless them, Father, beyond what any of us can imagine. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jim.
Good morning, church. It is truly amazing to be here today and share with you all the work that we're involved in. And I only arrived in America on Friday afternoon, so I'm not missing the kids yet. You know, it gets so busy and life's good, but when you get that break, it is somewhat refreshing, and then soon you realize, but what do I do with all this extra time? You know? But being married is great. I've been married for, I think, 11 years now. Long enough to where my wife and I both forgot our anniversary this year. And normally we're about a day late when we look at each other and go, what's today? And you go, 17. Oh, yeah. So yesterday was our anniversary. Yes. This week it came a couple of days late. This year it came a couple of days late. So, yeah, that's awesome. But getting married many years ago, and you thought your mom had raised you so well, well-mannered, and then you get married and you believe there are some tweaks, minor tweaks that can happen. And so after 10 years and a couple of kids in the mix, it's been awesome. To give you my background, I came to the U.S. for the first time in 1996, 97. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of the Adventures and Missions program at Sunset. And so studied in South Africa with Southern African Bible College for a while, came to Adventures and Missions, then went to Europe with European missions, and then back to South Africa and worked with Gospel Chariot missions. Then later on graduated from university with a degree in finance, and in 2013, I believe it was, I started working in investment banking. And so that's still where I work, and in 2013 migrated to Australia. So I'm not a full-time worker in Gospel Chariot Missions, but still very involved. So I'm on the board of Gospel Chariot Missions, part of a succession plan, four of us that work with the work full-time, but on a part-time basis. We travel into Africa. But by trade, I wake up every morning, and what kind of gets me out of bed is the share market. And how boring is that? I wish I could do something else sometimes, and I often ask myself that question, why did I get involved in that? And so I manage Australian equities portfolio for retirees and for investors in Australia. And I often sit with my dad and we talk about life in general. And we are of the view it's been no harder than today. And I don't know if it's just our view on life in general, but he made a statement and he said, well, when I was your age, I thought the same thing. And I know when your grandfather was your age, he probably thought the same thing. And the same way our kids will one day look at the world and go, wow, where are we going? And the reality is time flies. And that is what brings us back to what we do. We just believe that there's so many things in this world we can sit and worry and stress about, but it's really outside of your control. What's going to happen to your investment portfolio is really out of your control. What's going to happen to my kids when they grow up is in many ways out of my control. We can control certain things, but there are many things that are out of our control. And that is where we believe so deeply in a God that not only saves, but guides. But there are so many things we know that we have to pass on to others. And this is what Gospel Chariot Missions is about. And I want to kind of go down one avenue before I get too much involved in what we do. And just think on what the theme is for the year. Last year we traveled through America and I really shared with churches, what we are passionate about is for this work to continue for many years to come. It is not one of those works we want to see pop up, do well, and then just dwindle away and my children will never know it. So we are planning very much on what do we do not only to make sure this work continues, but it continues into the future to be better and more powerful than it is today. That's what we are working on. And this year I come and I've kind of themed a season of momentum. Let's talk about momentum in Africa. That is two phrases you don't hear very often. In investment banking, we're talking about momentum in America, momentum in Europe, momentum in Asia. China exploding and growing at 7% per annum. Unbelievable. Developed world's kind of penguin walk, 3%. We're all happy. But Africa is just kind of this dark continent that's just out there. We don't hear much about what's going on. And I come today and I say there's momentum in Africa. And what does momentum mean? Let's think about momentum. Take you back to high school days for some of us. Many, many years ago, but momentum in science class was, if you've forgotten, a product of mass times velocity. Momentum is mass times velocity. And the greater the mass and the greater the velocity, the greater the momentum. That is what is in Africa. I believe momentum. Now let's take for illustration purposes a freight train. There's a freight train. It is big, it is massive, it is weighty, it's on the railway tracks, it's standing in front of you. The size, the sheer size of this freight train is made up of 100 different parts, including freight, including the train, the mechanism, everything, but it is huge in front of you. But it's not moving. It is mass with zero velocity. I can go and stick a square block in front of it and it cannot move it. It cannot run over it. It is powerless. In the same way, I can take the same train and add velocity, forward movement in one common direction. Letting this freight train move on the tracks it's got in front of it in one common direction, all this weight is moving and there is velocity. And the more it moves and this mass starts moving at greater velocity, the greater the momentum. And before long, I can put a tree in front of it and nothing can stop it. That is momentum. As a church, as a ministry, we want to experience momentum. Here's the trick. You as a church will never experience more momentum as a church as what we each as individuals in the church experience. The church, the ministry, will only experience forward momentum which is equal to the sum of everyone within the church and the ministry's forward momentum. When we all start moving forward for a common cause to save souls, when we all start moving forward with a common cause to connect people in our communities to the church, that is when the church gains momentum. Momentum is one of those things where when you have it on your side, you know it. And when you have momentum, it is very hard for you to stop. The day we lose momentum is the day things fall apart. The day we stop dreaming for a vision, the day we stop thinking about 10 years from now is the day we start losing momentum. I want to share with you one thought, one prerequisite to having momentum. Only one. A prerequisite taking you back to school once again is if you really want something, There are some things you had to do before you could do that. If I wanted to graduate with a degree in accounting, I had to do accounting 3. But to do accounting 3, there was a prerequisite, accounting 1 and 2. And so I could not do it until I did 1 and 2, do 3. If you want to experience momentum in your life, there's one prerequisite. And we see it in the life of Moses. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, Moses uses 5 words, and this is the prerequisite to momentum. I think we can all agree that Moses had momentum. And he makes this phrase in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18. And he said, "Show me your glory. Please show me your glory." If you want to experience momentum in your life, if you want to experience momentum in the church, if we want to experience momentum in the ministry, we have to say the same words that Moses said. Show me your glory. We want to see you. And what we're going to work through in the next few minutes here is really asking God to show us more. And traditionally we'll speak about what's happening in the work now. But today I want to talk about what has happened since 1994 up until now and where we see we will be going. Gospel Chariot Missions is a ministry that started in South Africa. To give you a bit of background as to how it all started, in 1994, South Africa had the first democratic election it had ever had. That is something we take for granted in a country like America. But what happened was 10 million people would vote what would happen in a country with a population of 55 million people. You would live in a country, but you didn't really have a say when it came to election time. And when the election had happened, there was one thing we never speak about, but I want to share with the church today. If you did not have a job in the metropolitan area, you could not really live in the metropolitan area. But when all this rubbish was done away with, people would migrate to the city. And my parents had been business people. They had sold their business. My dad had gone to Bible school, and he had just finished, and he got his first job after Bible school, and he thought, there is something more to life. And he took this opportunity to start a ministry in the inner cities. And this ministry was really there to capture people moving into the city. Maybe just the next one. I'll just shout out on these. Oh, I'm supposed to switch on. Sorry. Yeah, that's the problem. So that's the inner city. So it was very much a South African work in 1994. The first inner city work was in Johannesburg, the capital of South Africa in terms of economic size. Everyone's moving there looking for work. People are graduating from universities looking for work there. And it's taking a concept of church and taking it to the street corners. That's all that we did. People would go to the retail shop fronts and they want to open a shop and start selling stuff to make money. What did my dad do? He goes and signs the lease and he puts a desk in there and he says, if you want a Bible study, you come here. People are buying clothing next door. They're buying party goods next door. But guess what? You come to the church building and you see that retail spot in the front there? That's where you get a free Bible correspondence course. That's where you can talk to people. When you have need, this is where you come. The church grows, it's established, it starts reaching out, and it goes east to the second, the far right yellow arrow to a town called Nelspruit. From there it goes into Namibia, the far left, where it does the same thing. It replicates the model, and soon we realize there's one problem. You cannot create scale. It is very hard going to every city in South Africa, signing a retail lease, putting a desk in there, selling books to try and attract people to share the good news. It's very hard going into every city, signing a retail lease to have people meet there on a Sunday. How do we take what we have here and make it mobile? That was the dream. And like most dreams, young people don't ever stop dreaming. Every dream goes through 3 stages. Let me tell you what they are. Stage 1, you'll be laughed at. Stage 2, you'll be ridiculed. And in stage 3, people will view it as the obvious. And so, of course, the first one to laugh was me. When my dad says he's going to build a truck, and it's going to be on the road and it'll be a church on wheels. I found it funny. I thought it is a crazy idea. It will never work. But to him it was a dream, it was a vision, it's what he wants to make happen. And it happens. And that's what we call a gospel chariot today. So not only doing it, but then painting it red and then calling it a chariot did not sit well with me, but people loved it. And it does what it needs to do. A chariot is essentially a truck. Like what we call a truck, you call a semi, I think. But it's a big truck and it's a church on wheels divided into three areas. The front part is a storage compartment, carrying chairs, carrying books, carrying literature, World Bible School courses. The middle section opens up. And it's got a tent attached to it that can seat 200 people. The truck carries 200 chairs with it underneath. The tent stows away. And in the back area is a compartment for people to sleep. And as this truck travels through Africa, and every town it goes through, it picks up a local missionary. It picks up a local member of the church that speaks the language, that knows the road, that knows where to go. And we only plan being in a city. And when we get there, the people locally have organized a piece of land that the truck can stop and the tent can be pitched. And the idea is Monday we travel, Tuesday we are there, just telling people we are in town, sharing with them the good news. Wednesday we're at the post office. All World Bible School students know Wednesday we're at the post office in Henderson. There's one post office. The truck is there. It's bright red. It's fine written. It's got World Bible School on it. And the students come. Thursday we put the tent up. Thursday night, you know who's mostly there? The kids, because the kids are inquisitive. What's this about? We're not used to this. The kids go home. Friday, the parents start coming. Saturday, it's the market, and there's a lot of people. Sunday, we have church there. And when we leave town, the church is empowered. We've recruited students. The people are excited, and we've got contacts. And it all started with a dream that seemed crazy. And as we go through the slides, you're going to see similar scenes to the one at the right bottom. That Sunday evening, people want to continue. Every chair is taken up. It is something that works. It all started in 2000 with one chariot. That chariot left Johannesburg and we traveled through South Africa up to Zimbabwe. And it was myself, my dad George, and then Machona, who still works with Gospel Chariot Missions today. That chariot that you see over there is the first one. It is still running today, but it's had its third body put on in the last year. The truck will keep going. We don't envisage replacing those unless something goes wrong. But the body in the back, we'll use them until they are finished, chuck them off and put a new one on. And it just keeps going. And we started off going in the countries on the left are very small and faint and you can't see them very easily, but we went into these countries, South Africa, Lesotho, Swaziland, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Tanzania, Mozambique. And the idea was we need to do this cycle every 12 months. Now, as the ministry grows and we meet people, it gets harder to get around to every place in 12 months. And 3 years later, we realize we have to build a second one because we don't want to hit a town and not be there for 18 months before we get there again. Chariot number 2 is born, and that one is known to work more north from South Africa. So based out of Malawi today. Why Malawi? Because the brethren there are on fire. They are organized. They want to know the gospel. It is based out of there. The 2 missionaries working on it are employed by Gospel Chariot Missions, but they are Malawian nationals. Traveling into Tanzania, traveling into Mozambique, going to Zimbabwe, Zambia. Really excited about the gospel, loving what you guys do with the kids this morning. The one worker on the truck, that is what he does. I was looking at a video on Facebook the other day. He's sitting under the tree on a chair and he's got, I want to say, hundreds of kids around him. And guess what they're singing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Something so basic. But that time you invest in them, it's not just about Bible, Bible, Bible and kids. The kids are coming. They are loving it. And that is what they go home and tell their parents. And their parents come back and get a World Bible School course and they are on fire. And then in the last year, what has happened is we've moved more north. We've said, okay, we've got Southern Africa with the 2 chariots. How can we make it more effective for the missionaries and the workers in the northern part of Africa? And really the first idea was, maybe we build a chariot for East Africa and one for West Africa. And that is where it started. A chariot was built for Ghana and a chariot was built for Kenya. And that is chariot 3 and chariot 4. Chariot 5 is then discussed, which is the second chariot for West Africa in Nigeria. And then that is kind of a bit of a boo-boo and we end up with a chariot for Uganda also. And so there's two chariots in West Africa, two chariots in East Africa, two chariots in South Africa. And we're constantly traveling across the continent of Africa. But as these chariots are large, some areas are harder to travel, some areas we don't have as many contacts, we've built mini chariots, which are essentially smaller, what you guys would call a truck. But it's got a baptistry, it's got a stage, it's got literature, it's got Bibles, it's more nimble, more agile. And it does World Bible School follow-up. And there are mini chariots in Liberia, Benin, Togo, in the Western African region. So those are the 22 countries that Gospel Chariot Missions works in on a full-time basis. The work started with the inner city works. And what the inner city works really do today, the green arrow is where Pretoria is. That's the head office for Gospel Chariot Missions. That's where we are based out of. So all the trucks are coordinated out of Pretoria, South Africa. They liaise with all the missionaries in Africa. They work with World Bible School and students in Africa. They send supplies. They print. And all of that happens out of Africa. But if you look at the arrow in the north, the far left corner, it's a Bible school that we've just taken over in Tsumeb. And the idea is Angola is one country we cannot work in. We cannot go into Angola because it's too dangerous for us. But we've set up this center strategically to bring Angolans into Namibia, educate them, support them, and send them back into Angola. Windhoek is where the church started in Namibia. Namibia is a very unique case, and that's why I want to spend a minute to talk about it. As an American, you cannot get a visa to go do mission work in Namibia. As a South African, we cannot get a visa to go work in Namibia, which is one of the reasons why the church has never really been well represented in Namibia. Gospel Chariot Missions in 2002, went into Namibia's capital, Windhoek, and took up a retail lease in the town center. And they had church in the shop. In the week, it would be a Bible bookshop. People would come, we'd recruit. 13 years later, the church owns property in Windhoek. It had a Bible school in Windhoek. It's got its chariot in Namibia. It's now got a Bible school in the northern part of Namibia. It has a lectureship annually, where all the churches celebrate. In the previous slide on Pretoria, I want to make note of one thing. One thing Gospel Chariot Missions does is we want to work with people. We don't want to become a territorial type of ministry going in, stepping on toes, but we want to complement. We don't compete with ministries, we complement them. We look at the good they do, and we try and say, how can we help you do it better? In Pretoria, we started that, and it became a 10-week Bible school. It's got a Bible bookshop. It's where all the workers work. But you know what's one thing that's key? Not too long ago, they had their 10-year anniversary. And they opened up to the churches in the area. Do you know how many people were there to celebrate with them their 10-year anniversary? 1,200 people. A church that was non-existent 15 years ago. Had 1,200 people celebrate its existence. And that's what we do. In these city centers that we are in now, is how do we support people in that country? How do we support people beyond those borders to be more effective? The way we penetrate, and this is probably the trick, if you think Gospel Chariot Missions, think this. It is about education. The gospel is about education. You knowing about Jesus and someone sharing that with you over the years is what's made it so powerful in your life. Nelson Mandela made an interesting comment in a speech he made, which is well known in South Africa. It says, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. The former president of South Africa knew the power of education. As a ministry, we go, why would we just not piggyback on that? Let's get every single student in this country to study the Bible, and surely we will change this country. Let's take every person coming to the city just to buy something and is going to go back to their town to get a Bible correspondence course and go back and study it, and we will change their life. Gospel Chariot Missions at the moment baptizes over 2,000 people a year. Most of them are first met by giving a correspondence course to. One of the most, and this is where I'm talking a season of momentum. We would be on the street corners with a pushcart giving more Bible school lessons, and some would end in the gutter, and you pick it up and you give it out again. But you know what's happening more and more and more recently? Do you see that school, over 1,000 kids, allow us to come in and do a devotional. Allow us to come in and give every single student a World Bible School course. Every single student is allowed a Bible. And that is the power of education. Going where people want to learn. Lazarus is one of our World Bible School follow-up teachers in the far right corner, standing next to a pile of World Bible School courses that have just been printed. We print thousands of them, put them on these trucks, distribute them into Africa, on this logistical network that we have. Bible distribution, printing in China, container loads of these go into Africa, once again onto the trucks, onto mini chariots, giving it to World Bible School teachers, giving it to churches. We've shipped the first pallet into Australia, where we've gone. My dad traveled 15,000, well, probably about 1,000 miles, 10,000 miles around Australia, doing a survey. How can we impact the people in Australia? And the first pallet has gone to Australia. And I'll talk some more about some of the mission efforts we want to do there. One of the big gaps we realized many years ago was, if someone studies through World Bible School and they are finished, what then? And that is where the short-term schools were born. There's one in Pretoria, one in South Africa on the coast in Plettenberg Bay. There's one on the Zimbabwean border in a town called Venda. And now there's one in Namibia, branching out into Angola. And the idea is, when you finish studying World Bible School and you're really keen and you've got questions and you want to know more, that's where we take these students for 10 weeks to come and live with us, to learn about missions, to learn about the Bible, to learn about doctrine, and teach them all these things which we have learned. And many of the workers that work on the chariot today have come through this short-term school. And from there, we put them in contact with Nations University. My dad has got his bachelor's degree from Nations University. Many of the workers there have got Masters of Divinity through Nations University. It's a great tool to further education. The bottom picture shows graduation in Pretoria, graduation in Plettenberg Bay, graduation in Venda. The students come in, help print material for the truck, help print material for the schools. Moving into Africa, and this is probably the chart that I want to leave with you today. If you forget everything I've said, get this part. We are now represented almost in every country in Africa, either directly as gospel charity or partnering with the ministry in that country. The only two countries in southern part of Africa is Angola and Congo, which is not safe to go into, still very politically uncertain. And then if you look at North Africa, we don't go in there, but it's the Muslim dominance. So it's very dangerous for us to go. But the idea in the next 10 years is, how do we get so set up in East and West Africa and then penetrate those areas by letting people and Christians come into those centers to study and support them to go back up? We don't want to build trucks for every country. We don't want to build trucks for every region. But we want to at least afford everyone the opportunity to learn the gospel. And the way we're doing this at the moment is with the chariots. There you'll see the big chariot for Ghana, and then the mini chariot at the bottom. Chariot number one only travels around South Africa. Those are just a couple of pictures of what they do. I think the key thing I want to highlight out of that is the right top is benevolence. That is one thing we are starting to try and explore more. As a ministry, we feel we don't do enough in terms of benevolence. And the reason for this is, there's a saying that goes, often people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Not everyone wants to study the Bible. Not everyone will take that invitation to study from you. But everyone's got a need of some sort. And like the church helps out with the hurricanes in the US, we feel, what is going to be that niche that Gospel Charity Missions is going to fill in Africa? One of our biggest things is not a hurricane, but it's a drought. We've got drought relief opportunities that we can take on. The charity in South Africa is probably the one that will start off in doing that. Once again, far right, getting into the community where the church is established, working with them, strengthening them. The second chariot, Malawi, one of the hardest working chariots in Africa. Once again, you can see the men are out every day. I remember working on the charity. In the morning, we wake up. You get in a car and go to work. We go stand on the road and hand out courses to everyone who is going to work. And the beauty of that is we meet so many people. By 9:30, peak hour traffic's gone, and we go, okay, so we're done for the day. And it's really then where we wait until 10, 11, 12, when we've got these meetings set up to meet World Bible School students. And that's what they are doing there. Passers by, just inviting them to study. But next year, those are the very same people that sit on the chairs, that ask the questions, that have a deeper, meaningful Bible study. Those are the people that go to the marketplace and hear the message. Those are the people that fill the tent and bring their family to share the good news which they found a year or two ago. It's a very effective ministry. Kenya is a new chariot that we built. Once again, Bible distribution, very key. How do we get into East Africa? How do we get up to this area where there is an established church, where there is effective ministries, but we say we want to support you more. We want to give you Bibles. We want to give you World Bible School. We want to come and make a noise. We want to get you introduced to people who do not go to your church. Often as a church, we keep mixing with the same people in the same communities. And we are kind of the tool that comes and just shakes that and breaks all the boundaries down because we know no one. And we just introduce everyone to everyone. Ghana. Ghana has really challenged the South African chariots in many ways. But one area where they're really good is they like to partner in ideas which the government is facilitating. Don't go and work and do your own thing and only be spiritual things and religious things and teaching the Bible. Ghana, in this example here, quite clear says, government's got initiatives on healthcare. How do we get people better healthcare? Let the chariot support that. Let's educate people on things that are quite common to us, but new to them. Ebola virus in Liberia 2 years ago, it's big in the newspapers to us. It's a real problem to them. How do we as a chariot organization tap into that and support government and its initiatives to provide better health care? Ghana, in this example, is the youth going in and just saying, we're going to clean up the area. We're going to clean up and just pick up a simple paper. That's what we want to do. But people see this and they associate that with World Bible School, with Gospel Chariot Missions, with Church of Christ. Someone that wants to make a difference in this community. And when they're in need, guess where they go? To the one ministry that makes a difference. Many chariots there that you can see all of them. The white chariot in Zimbabwe had to be white because of government regulation, but generally they are all red. The one story that's well known is the one, it's in Benin, Togo, is the school bus. It was donated by Americans. And they love what Gospel Chariot Missions do to the point where they say, you know what? Help us paint it red and give us the tool. And we support them. And they continue to do the great work they set out to do. Last year, we raised $100,000 to build a chariot for Nigeria. That's the chariot. Imported from Germany, they come white, we pay to have them made red, the body gets fitted on the back. The funds is fully raised for this, but there are two big economies in Africa, South Africa and Nigeria. And one lesson we learned from the Kenyan chariot is we no longer want to build a chariot in South Africa and export it. But the Nigerian brethren said, we prefer you to build it in South Africa. We did a lot of this research and traveling and networking and communicating and connecting with people who will run the chariot on our behalf. People who are keen to work on the chariot. That we overlooked one area. And that is that they drive road. And so we had taken ownership of a chariot that's right-hand drive that should be left-hand drive. And so we had to reorder this one. But that problem became a blessing. Because it allowed us to fast forward a year and build a second chariot for Uganda. A second chariot for East Africa, which is in Uganda. And now we're at that point where we've done both. And in the next 4 to 6 months, both will be delivered in those regions. The Ugandan chariot, we're still raising funds for. And in this video clip is a video where my dad speaks about the Ugandan chariot. And just Gospel Chariot Missions in general. And I'll first listen to this, and then I'll talk some more.
Hi everyone, this is George Fan, Gospel Chariot Mission. Just want to make a plea. Say thank you. Hi everyone, this is George Fan, Gospel Chariot.
I think it's okay. I'll just run through those little pieces. I think we'll play like that all the way through. But essentially what he goes on is he explains pretty much where the truck would go. The idea has always been that Kenya and Chariot would spill over, and it'd really be two major countries it'll work in, and that is Uganda and Kenya. And how they move across the two and the neighboring states is the key. But Uganda, the brethren are really on fire for what they do. And they've said, we're ready to take it on. And so the Kenyan chariot would become a chariot to move more north, South Sudan, and Uganda will push more south to meet the second chariot. And the idea is that we've raised $50,000 towards the $100,000 to finish the chariot for Uganda. We've got one brother in the church that said, for every dollar you raise, I will give a dollar, which is a great blessing to us as a ministry, because we essentially now only need to raise $25,000. And there's the Ugandan chariot. Dimpu Motamele on the right top has traveled to Uganda and worked with the brethren there to set up the running of it. We are ready to ship it. It's currently being written. But we want to come to this church today and not so much ask you to contribute to the Ugandan chariot, but more as an opportunity to say thank you for everything you have contributed to. We want to say thank you to every individual here for being part of Gospel Chariot Missions, to get it to a point where we can penetrate Africa, to get it to a point where we can print literature, where we can hand out Bibles, where we can change lives. But we are dreaming of extending into Africa, and we want to partner with you for many years to come. There's a running cost involved in these things, and it is comforting for us to sit and set budget for another year out, knowing that we've got churches like yourselves that back us and believe in what we do. And we want to thank you for doing that. On the next slide, this is where the work is trying to branch out into. Like I said earlier, gospel care, those are predominantly East and West African ministries that we're working alongside. And it's around drought relief. It's finding people in the US, finding people in South Africa, finding people in Africa that are by nature and by trade farmers, and saying, how can we give a helping hand to these farmers in Africa that are not resourced? And through that, make it a mission effort and growing what Gospel Chariot Missions wants to do. At the left top, you can see the picture of the mini chariot in Liberia during the Ebola outbreak 2 years ago. And these are initiatives taken by the local brethren. It's not something we have to think of. And I think this is the blessing we have, working with some phenomenal people. And in that, they're reaching out and says, a lot of people turned to Christ because they knew death was there, but we've got a solution. And we want to do the same thing. There is a drought, but we've got a solution. In the next slide, I want to share with you one thing that we did in Australia. And this is just kind of like a side note. 2 weeks ago, once again, you've got a dream. People will laugh at you, get ridiculed, and then they'll think it's actually only the obvious. As a family, we are in Australia, and we travel into Africa. My dad is in Africa predominantly, but lives in Australia too. And he thought, I have to do something more in my community. And he thought he'd put that flyer out and just drop it in letterboxes. And the first thing I thought is, no one uses mail anymore and mailboxes. It's about connecting on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page nowadays. Follow us. But really, it's a simple thing where I'll read it to you in the back if you cannot see it. He's just saying, please help us ship old clothes and blankets to the poor in Africa. It's who we are, and we want to make a difference in our community in Australia. My name is George Funk, a native South African, now living in Perth with my wife, four children, and six grandchildren. I regularly commute to Africa, where I've been doing mission work in South Africa and 20 other African countries since 1994. We have 15 trucks, and we call gospel chariots that preach and do good throughout the African continent, all free of charge, empowering Africans to help reach their own continent with compassion and love. You can see more at gospelchariot.org or our Gospel Chariot Facebook page. That said, I live here in the northern part of Perth, and I feel compelled to try and help further. I seek fellow good-hearted Australians in my community to help me ship a container every year with goods we consider old, but a blessing to those less fortunate than us. We will have a whole lot of fun in the process, watching it being distributed, even some of us traveling to help distribute it. It's just a shot in the dark. We don't know. And over the last week, since these have been going out, every day we get at least two emails. People that don't even go to church. It's just reaching out. One man, his wife passed away 2 weeks ago. Friends helped him clear out the house. He dropped all the clothes. Just wants to make a difference. Got another email from a company. Company says, we distribute all our clothing to organization over in Eastern Australia. We'll give it to you. They make athletic apparel and workwear. All damaged, not first world quality, a little bit of shade. We've collected one pallet of brand new clothing for Africa. And this is what we want to do. In the next 10 years, we're just saying, we want to be like Moses. Father, show us your glory. Show us more of you. In everything that we do, in the way we live life, we just want to see more of you. We want to help connect people that are not connected to the church to be connected to doing good. We want to help people that have a skill to be connected. In closing, I want to just say to the church, thank you. And on the next slide, please continue to pray for us. This is a ministry that travels thousands of miles. It's a ministry where people go into areas that are risky. We don't talk about it often, but it is a real risk that keeps many of us up at night. Many husbands of wives have kids, stay away from home 4 to 6 months at a time to go and share the gospel, to pitch the tent, to give out a course, and their wives sacrifice. And we want to thank the church for supporting us and having the opportunity for us to be stewards of your funds into Africa. And I pray that you keep praying for us as we do that. Moses asked God to show him more of his glory. And in a way, he had seen so much. He saw the plagues. He struck the rod and the Red Sea parted and the water went one way and the other way and they all passed through to dry land. And still Moses said, I want to see more. I want to have more momentum. God, I want to see you. And that is what we are saying as a ministry. We've seen inner city works. We've seen chariots. We've seen a continent conquered. We believe we are just starting. And pray that God blesses us as we look forward to the next 10, 20 years, that we see who He is. And that we help people see who He is. And once again to this church, thank you so much for partnering with us over the years. When we sit and we say, should we build a chariot? It's people like you that make us say, we can. I've brought a couple of brochures. I'll leave with the church in the back. And really the only thing, if you want to get a report and know what's happening with the work. Follow us on Facebook. You'll see the drivers take pictures and videos and post them there the whole time. But it also has my email address and my father's email address. Not my father, my biological father. George, email us and we'll send you a report. We'll add you to the list. And thank you for the work. And more especially, I can tell you it's refreshing coming here and seeing what's happening in your church. What happens with the kids here. We moved to Australia 4 years ago. And the church we go to today, we go there for one reason. Because of what you did with your kids this morning. I don't think we often realize how powerful it is. The adults not only enjoys the lesson, they definitely do, but the visitors walk in and many of them look for a church for their children. And when they see that, big tick. So thank you for what you do for the Lord's church. Thank you for supporting us that we can do what we do for the Lord's church. And as we look for momentum, in Jesus' name, amen.